Resolution 207, authorizing the replacement of the fire alarm and heating controls for the Ulster County Law Enforcement. Second. Legislator Archer, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 211, authorizing purchase of county fleet vehicles. Can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second, Ronk. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
You mind if I make a motion to block down to 228 all the bonds?
You're free to do so. Motion, a second for that?
I'll second that.
Legislator Mayo? All right. Any discussion? All right, the block. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. On the block.
Aye.
Aye.
Legislator Arch. Okay. Any opposed? Okay. What was that number you ended at, Legislator Rock?
228.
All right, so 238, adopting the revised Ulster County fund balance policy. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second, Legislator Archer. Discussion?
I have a question on that.
Dave can go first if he wants.
Okay. Chairman Down.
Yeah, the where is the money for this coming from?
I'm not sure I know what your question is.
Well, in other words, you're putting the money to revise the revising the Ulster County fund balance. I'm sorry, I was
looking at the next one.
I was looking at the next one.
Yeah. But Leader Rock.
Thank you. I'm not in favor of this as it's written. I've got some pretty deep concerns about setting the base so high. I'm not necessarily against, you know, increasing the ceiling on what we should have in fund balance. You know, I might feel differently if we went, you know, 5 to 18% or something like that, so we wouldn't have such a low ceiling with the 5 to 10. But again, it's, you know, all the language in the fund balance policy is that we will strive to have, it doesn't say that we have to have only 5 to 10% currently. I feel like our auditors, if we pass a policy like this and then don't have, you know, in the range that, you know, we're looking for here, then we're going to get dinged on audits and things like that for something that is aspirational in a way. I really feel like having that much fund balance, I understand, you know, the GFOA guidelines have increased, but my concern is that if we're keeping that much money in reserve, that we're overtaxing the taxpayers. I really feel like, you know, if we keep our rainy day fund that high, it A, discourages the use of it, and B, when a rainy day really comes, we're going to be outside of our own policy. I just, again, you know, having the low end so high, I think is of concern to me.
Legislator Archer.
Yeah, I appreciate those comments. The intent here was to put it on the table for discussion. So I do appreciate that, Legislator Ronk. I think that a couple of things that I want to point out. It is a best practice that the GFOA is recommending, and it's 2 months versus what I believe in the past had been 1 month. And so 2 months is kind of right smack dab in the middle of that range just based on this year's budget. So I'm willing to, you know, kind of talk what number, or I you said the bottom line is the 5%. Would you be willing to have the 10%, the high end of the lower end? Because we haven't changed this in a number of years. I think the last time was 2013 or 2012. Is that correct?
My memory, you know, doesn't go back that far on this. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think we were looking at it back then. I don't know if Amber or Natalie recalls what the last change was. It 2012? I guess
Amber, Natalie.
I don't. Anyway, so we haven't changed it in a while. We've been tracking or trending the past couple of years in the 8, 9, 10, 13, 8, 15. So we've been trending at the higher end. I just feel it's important. And I believe that they ran it past the auditors to just kind of double check. Amber, you have the date?
2013.
Okay, I knew it was somewhere in there. Thank you. So I think it's important to, you know, kind of set some guidelines. And I think 5% is too low, given where we've been. And we also kind of put in there, I think, something that gives them time to remedy. It's not expected all at once, you know, to try and get it done in 1 year, 2 years, I think is meaningful to make adjustments accordingly. Would that be something you'd be okay with?
Let me let Chair Donaldson go first, and then.
I tend to agree with Legislator Ronk on this. I'm concerned about the high end of this. And, you know, because after all, you're holding on to this money and we're holding on to the taxpayers' money. And to me, it's a, you know, it could be a lot of money if you're holding on to 18. I don't think we've gotten over 13 ever. Maybe. I don't know, Bert, do you know?
We were at 15 last year.
Dave, if you look at the last 16 years, 13% was the highest over the last 16 years. And on average, it was about 8.5.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's my concern, is holding that much amount of money. And also the problem is when, you know, for bonding purposes and, you know, the way, you know, for the cost of borrowing money, when they see that we're not not following our own policy, if we go below it, it could affect our bonding rating. So I'm concerned with that. I mean, I could understand maybe upping it somewhat, but I think going where this one goes is too high.
Minority LaRonk.
Thanks. You know, I don't know if I'd be willing to make 10 the low level. I'd have to think about that. You know, my biggest concern, and again, you know, we hover in the, you know, in the high single digits, you know, typically on our fund balance. And I know that we've had a healthy fund balance for the last, you know, many years. But I mean, that it's a sign of a couple things, you know, the economic recovery following the Great Recession, you know, and smart financial planning, you know, and being, you know, fiscally responsible as a body. You know, I've always, you know, said that we're, you know, one or two terms in the legislature away from financial ruin again, you know, if you get a group of people who's not making the right decisions. You know, I would say that, you know, I understand the laudable goal of the 2 months of operating expenses. You know, that having been said, we just went through you know, a global pandemic that we were expecting to cripple the government, and we came out the other side, you know, fiscally stable. And I don't know that we can, I'm not going to say that, never mind. You know, let's just say we've been through a really rough time and we came out the other side fiscally stable. And I think it's because of the proper planning that we have here in the county. I don't agree with putting that much money aside in the you know the taxpayers' money sort of just in the bank in case things go bad, you know, because if we a lot of times don't use fund balance during the budget time as we're planning for our next year, we would have to raise taxes. And then on the other end of that, if we come out in a better spot, you know, then, you know, we have overtaxed the taxpayers. That's my biggest concern here is, you know, taxing the taxpayers for more than we need to operate the county government. I think that that's a bad practice.
Well, I can.
Legislator Archer.
Yeah, I concur. I'm not looking to do that. I'm looking to also ensure we've been drawing down fund balance. I want to just make sure that at the end of the day, you know, we were going to be in a hole this year, and we ended up with almost $11, $12 million surplus. So it's just a matter of, I think the 5 to 8% is is not enough. Maybe there's a happy medium in the way in which we would look at it, but I do think it needs some change, and I would like to see us getting closer, and again, not at the expense of the taxpayers, but ensuring that we have sufficient funds to protect us should something occur, so that we're not looking at having to tax the taxpayers, and we're not looking having cut services because mm-hmm. we don't have sufficient funds.
Any other discussion?
Bert has his hand up, John.
Oh, Bert.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I did look at the 16 years, only three of them were above 10%, just as reference.
Right. Yeah, that's what I had.
March.
Thank you. I just wanted to note that over the last 5 years, the Comptroller's Office has spoken about fund balance in our quarterly report several times, and it might be a good idea while you're looking at this to also look at specifying that you're speaking just to general fund, as well as maybe looking at adding suggestions about what should happen if there's an overage. So I just wanted to mention those two things. Thanks.
Anybody else? All right. Legislator Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Legislator Archer, are you willing to postpone this for a month and have discussions on, you know, if we want to make a change, where the right numbers are, and you know, going back to what March just said about what to do when there are overages, and are we only talking about the unrestricted fund balance, or?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole intent was to put it on the table for discussion. Yeah. So I don't think we have it perfect, but you know, let's have more dialogue around it and see what best suits where we're at today.
Okay.
So I'm willing to I make a motion to postpone.
Second.
I'll second that motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Legislator Archer. I look forward to the discussion.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Chair Donaldson, Resolution 239, replenishment of the tax stabilization fund.
Yeah, I was. Where is this actually coming from?
Move it. Second. Legislator Haynes. Now go ahead, Chair Donald, sorry.
Yeah, is this actually coming out of the fund balance, or is it going to be, or is it meant to come out of the American Rescue Money?
Yeah, Leader Rock.
Thanks. The resolution states that it should be transferred from the unrestricted fund balance. Now, I did have a concern when I read the resolution because the bottom of the resolution says there's no financial impact. I guess it's budget neutral because it's just transferring from one fund to another, but I still think there's a financial impact there. But yes, Legislator Chairman Donaldson, it would be coming from the unrestricted fund balance.
Well, wouldn't it make more sense to wait until we get the American rescue money, and then take it out of that, because instead of taking it out of our existing fund balance, because that's what that money is meant for, is one of the things that money is meant for. If you just take it out of the fund balance, it's basically then, you know, cutting into our fund balance when we don't need to.
Legislator Archer first, then Ron.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would meet the criteria. But we also had a surplus, so we could use, and maybe I know we're still all just digesting the frequently asked questions that we received on this, so it's not clear to me.
We took the money out because of the because of COVID expenses,
exactly.
So therefore we can replenish it because of the COVID expenses, and so I believe it. If the resolution reads that from the rescue money, then I'm in full support of it. But if I'd just taken it out of the fund balance, I think I'd rather see it just come in out of the American rescue money.
Minority Leader Rock.
Thanks. As it's written, I can't support this resolution. I don't see the utility in taking money out of an unrestricted fund balance that this legislature would have to act to appropriate and put it into a heavily restricted fund balance that the legislature would have to act to appropriate from. I understand the point of view of the sponsor. When we were spending the tax stabilization fund in the first place, it was important to me that any reimbursements that we got from FEMA were put back into tax stabilization. I don't see the utility in doing this at this time. I tend to agree here with Chairman Donaldson that if we're able to use the American Recovery Funds to replenish the tax stabilization fund, then I could be in favor of that. But I don't support taking it out of the unrestricted fund balance. To me, it's just taking money that the legislature could appropriate for any reason that comes along and then heavily restricting it.
Legislator Archer.
I'm okay if we want to postpone it till we get more clarification on what's the more appropriate fund or way in which to put the money back in. But we took it out, and I think we should replenish it. And while I know it's restrictive, it was there for a good cause, and I think it's important for Ulster County taxpayers that we replenish it. So I'm willing to go ahead and postpone it till we get better clarification as to what is the best source of funding for this.
Is that a motion to postpone it?
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Second.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. 240, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 2, 2020, payment of living wage. Motion. Legislator Ronk?
I'll move it.
Chair Donaldson, second. Discussion? Leader Ronk?
I'm going to be a no tonight on this. I understand, again, this is one of those that I understand the desire of the sponsor and the intent I think is good. I think it has the potential to put a lot of our contractors, especially our not-for-profits, in a bad spot and or cost the county taxpayers a significant amount of additional dollars. So, Without specific criterion for exemptions, I mean, this allows the purchasing director to promulgate regulations that would, allow for exemptions. I can't see putting that, kind of a authority on to make policy, like that to a appointee of the executive's office. But in addition to that, I just think that, The goal is laudable. I just don't know if the execution is there. And I've always felt that way about this ever since legislative parity started bringing it up, I think back in 2015.
Other legislative parity?
I just might add that any exceptions, and there's exceptions to everything in life, exceptions that we can't even think of at this point, or maybe for years, but any exceptions that may be carved out and suggested have to be brought back to the legislature. So I don't think there's any hazards in the purchasing director carving out exceptions that would be too far out of the mainstream.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ronk, Mayo, Haynes. So motion carried. 243, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement for a certificate of need application. Good motion. This is a late one. That was
sent.
Second. Archer. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. And new business, the part of our new policy, we have to award funding for the non-contract agencies. I mentioned it the last meeting and the meeting before. The request is for the $908,750, I believe, which was the adopted budget amount for 2020. I'll look for a motion for that amount or any other amount if somebody wants to make it. Leader Ronk.
Thanks. I think that you and I spoke about this, Mr. Chairman. I personally believe that we might want to increase this amount a little bit. I think that some of the organizations, and it was actually thought about this after we'd spoken, some of the organizations were given a lower amount in our adopted budget because things weren't open for the full year. And then we were also, assuming that things were not going to be fully open, again, in 2021, I feel like, we're going to see, organizations like UPAC fully opening, the arts are going to be fully open. I wonder if we shouldn't maybe think about the adopted 2019 number instead of the adopted, 2021 number.
Do you know what the adopted 2019 number was?
I don't offhand. I'm just going to, what we were appropriating when all of these organizations were fully open and operating.
Do you have that number, Amber?
Just one moment, I'll pull it up.
I thought about the idea, in other words, increasing it slightly by 10%, or just make it an even million. What do you think about that, Legislator Ronk?
I mean, I'd rather go with a number that like has some backing in something that we've done in the past than just saying an even million, but I'm willing to roll with whatever the committee thinks.
Mr. Archer.
Amber, do we have what we spent in 2018 and 2019? Just to give a frame of reference for what we have done in the past, and while COVID had an impact, we'll have a better sense of how much of an impact.
I think that's what she's working on now, Legislator Archer, is coming up with that number.
Legislator Parity, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I did. Part of the conversation we've been having concerning the reform of these issues was organizations like Cornell Cooperative, Family, or Gateway. They're not, and the expanse of their contributions to the community are a little bit more than your normal or your regular non-for-profits. And there was conversation with some people from the executive's office about taking Cornell Cooperative right out and putting it under the executive's funded budget, and maybe Family and maybe Gateway. And then that way we could be focusing whatever number the body chooses on the non-for-profits that have particular needs or particular programs. But certainly Cornell Cooperative, as an example, is far more significant than many of them.
Here, let Amber, you go first.
Yep.
The 2019, I'm sorry, the 2018 contracted value was $643,450. 2019, $672,250.
Where did we come up with the 908?
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me, the libraries wasn't included in that. 753,085 for 2019. So 908,750 is the 2020 adopted budget.
As well as the 21, correct?
Correct.
Right, it's not the 2020 revised budget. I understand now. Thank you. I'm fine. I'm fine with that number.
Well, yeah, I do.
Chair Donaldson, to make this streamlined, so make it follow the process. I'll make a motion for $908,750, but the money would be put into the other home and community services lines, and it could be redistributed later. So I'll make that motion myself.
I'll second that motion.
All right, Chair Donaldson.
That's good. I'm good with that. You know, but I agree with what Legislator Parity is saying, and we had this discussion in the past. You know, same thing like soil and water, or you know, the Cornell Cooperative. They are almost like quasi-governmental in a way. And as a result, you know, having them in the budget that we deal with, I think it would be better served that, you know, the executive works with the county, you know, with the Cornell Cooperative, comes up with the number that they're going to work. And if they're not happy with that number, they could always come to us to try to get a little more, I guess. But I think that would make more sense to me. I mean, and same thing with, I don't know about the Gateway one, but I would agree with that, and even Family of Woodstock, because they run through so many programs. They're in, you know, like in some ways, I think legislative programs as one of them, then the others, you know, we have all these other ones, like the legislative program has the non-custodial parent visitation, which we're required to do, and here we're trying to nickel and dime them. Matter, and as a result, we could actually have a lawsuit on us if we do not carry out those non-custodial visitations, and if they can't do it because of them being cut.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I'll just add to that, and I think, you know, Legislator Bartels has said this many times before, there are agencies that, and I agree, that should not be under this funding, should be part of the budget itself. And I think, you know, I think for tonight, I think we have to do this and let's get this part done, but we should maybe even have a special meeting to discuss our opinion on whether these should be, and then get, you know, our auditors or other input and fix this going forward. Later on.
Right, we could have this discussion with the county executive's team also.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say is that, you know, the only thing it would take to, you know, change where these organizations end up in the budget would be the executive's office, you know, including, say, Cornell, Soil and Water, any of these other programs that the chairman's been talking about, into the executive budget rather than into the legislative programs line in the budget.
Legislator Walter?
Sorry, I just wanted to apologize for being late. Above the Zoom link, it gave 5:30 as the time. And so here I am.
You're still late.
Deputy Executive Ryder.
Yeah, so we have talked about having Cornell and Soil and Water kind of looped in with the Department of the Environment, and we can take that back to Evelyn, have no issue with that. I think the one Family of Woodstock contract that's here, the reason it's not in the social services budget and here is because there seemed to be a conflict, and there was always an issue, because they're doing visitations that for some reason shouldn't be overseen by DSS. So that's why it's been here, and it seems to make sense to keep that here. But the other two that I spoke about are things that we should definitely, you know, Cornell typically in a given year will present their budget to us and you, and for whatever reason it's always just left up to the legislature to add it in, so it would make sense that we include it in the executive budget.
Any other discussion? Chair Donaldson?
Yeah, so they basically, I think now that I remember what you're talking about, Mark, the non-custodial visitation, that wasn't that done through social services? That's what my understanding was. Now, what you're saying, it's more like a CASA situation where, you know, like CASA works with social services, but they have to be independent when they see a client, because they may hold social services accountable.
Right, and so this contract, I think, is supervision that is facilitated through a family court order and has to do with that, which is why, for some reason, you know, our social services attorneys are oftentimes opposing these individuals in family court sometimes. or defending them, either one. But I think it was decided in the past that it made sense that it was separate from the DSS budget.
All right, that makes sense.
And are you wrong? You're on mute.
Thanks. I was just going to say that I think that it's, you know, it's good to have this discussion about individual organizations, but I think that this is more about the larger pot of money, and we can have, you know, further conversations as we move towards the budget process.
I agree.
About individual groups.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Frank, any discussion? All those in favor? Thank you all. We'll see you at 7:00.